content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sorry about that. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall bring to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off this morning with a rather unusual thing that we do in these Reader's Digest thing. This is the rarest hair and eye color combination in humans. And they've got pictures here of a female face, a sketch of it, with the hair colors and the eye colors are rapidly changing from red and brown and orange and black and yellow and green and blue. If you have the rarest hair and eye color combination, you're one in a million or maybe even more. If you have dark brown hair and brown eyes, you have something in common with most of the people around the globe. According to the World Atlas, between 75% and 85% of the world's population has dark brown or black hair, and 70 to 79% of people have brown eyes. So what is the rarest hair and eye color combinations? To understand that, we need to understand a bit of genetics. You know, they skipped one thing here. We older people have gray hair as well. There's a lot more to it than simple dominant and recessive traits we learned about in high school biology. Those lessons taught us that the different versions of a gene can be dominant, what you see, or recessive, what you don't see. And they help explain fun facts like why people are born with blue eyes versus brown or green. But that's a simplistic view of eye color, and determining hair color is even more complex. According to Julie Kaplan, MD, a physician at the Cleveland Clinic's Center for Personalized Genetic Healthcare, your hair color in particular is tied to variations in a specific gene. Knowing which gene plays a role in hair and eye color variation can help us understand why some hues are more common than others. Keep reading to learn what the rarest hair and eye color combinations are, plus other tidbits of information. Your father has brown hair, your mother's a blonde, and you somehow end up with flaming red hair. It's all thanks to a single gene. The MC1R, or melanocortin-1 receptor gene, helps decide your hair, skin, and eye coloring. It sends signals to the melanocytes, cells that create melanin in your body, and depending on your genes, it recreates eumelanin, usually associated with darker hair or skin, or pheomelanin, associated with light-colored hair like red or blonde and fairer skin. In redheads in particular, the MC1R gene doesn't function the correct way and causes these cells to make mostly pheomelanin, which is barely present in any of the other hair colors. The lack of melanin also puts redhead as a higher risk for skin cancer. Hair color is a bit more complex than dominant and recessive and is related to variants in the MC1R gene, says Dr. Kaplan. There are 9 variants described in this gene. Red is the rarest hair color, according to Dr. Kaplan, and that's because so few MC1R variants are associated with the shade. Only 3 variants are associated with red hair, she says. If a person has 2 of these 3 variants, they almost certainly have red hair. If they have only 1 of the 3 variants, there is still a greater chance of red hair, though they may be more likely to have a strawberry blonde color. The other 6 variants can lead to a range of blonde to brown hair color. So while blondes may have more fun, redheads are halfway to having the rarest hair and the eye color combination. And it's not just because MC1R. According to a 2018 study to be published in Nature, the OCA2 gene, which is important for eye color, also interacts with the MC1R gene and can reduce your likelihood of having red hair. Another fun fact about redheads, they have a fascinatingly high pain tolerance. MC1R, the same gene that plays a large role in hair color, also modulates pain sensitivity, Dr. Kaplan says. Studies have shown that non-functional MC1R, as seen in redheads, yields a higher tolerance to electrical stimulation and increased sensitivity to cold and heat. The rarest eye color. Just as the MC1R gene determines your hair color, a single gene, OCA2, is 75% responsible for your eye color, Dr. Kaplan says. For eye color, the OCA2 gene determines how much melanin is in the iris, the colorful ring around your pupil, by controlling how much P protein is produced. A lot of alphabetical stuff here. For people with blue eyes, considered a recessive trait, there's very little P protein. 2 non-functional copies of OCA2 yield blue eyes, says Dr. Kaplan. If a person has two functional copies of OCA2, they are more likely to be on the spectrum of blue-green, hazel-brown. But OCA2 isn't the only gene that has a say in what colors eyes you're born with. There's HERC2, a gene that controls how OCA2 gene works, essentially turning a pea protein production on and off. And there are 8 additional genes that play at least a small role in eye color, which makes determining what eye color any particular baby might have extremely hard, even if you try to base it on their parents or grandparents. A pair of blue-eyed parents can still have a brown-eyed child, depending on how all the genes interact. So you can't always blame the UPS guy. So what's the rarest eye color? According to an American Academy of Ophthalmology survey, green eyes are the rarest. Only 9% of Americans have green eyes, compared with 45% who have brown eyes and 27% who have blue eyes. But it's not quite that simple. See, we like to think there's a rainbow of eye color options out there. Violet, blue, gray, hazel, green, brown, near black. But scientists believe they're all slightly different manifestation of blue eyes or brown eyes. It may seem like green is rare, but there are many people who have green-brown eyes. The rarest hair and eye color combination. Well, if that's the case, what are the rarest hair and eye color combinations? That'd be red hair with blue eyes. There's a little genetic tweak that makes the combination of red hair and blue eyes the rarest of them all. The same Nature study, mentioned above, found that another gene variant, HERC2, interacts with both the MC1R gene and the OCA2 gene, and it can shut off the redhead gene while expressing blue eyes and blonde hair. That makes the blue eye and red hair combination even more unlikely to happen. In addition, with both red hair and blue eyes being something akin to recessive traits, having parents that are able to pass on two sets of recessive genes is very unlikely. In most cases, you have blue eyes and hair somewhat on the spectrum of blonde to brown, or red hair with brown, hazel, or green eyes. According to an article by the evolutionary biology professor Mark Elgar, Ph.D., of the University of Melbourne, blue-eyed redheads are the absolute rarest, with only 0.17% of the population having that combination of hair and eye color. So if that describes you, you're most likely one in a million or more. So that makes the most rare. Now, still on a bit of a health kick, how about a dose of mental health? Many people are microdosing, but scientists are split over whether the benefits of taking small amounts of psychedelic drugs are a placebo effect or something more. 5 years ago, Joseph was struggling. "I was just in kind of this depression in this rut," he says. "I was unhappy and angry and agitated all the time, and it went against the way I saw myself." Depression and anxiety run in Joseph's family, and he'd been prescribed Prozac as a kid. But when symptoms of depression returned in his early 30s, he didn't want to go back to a prescription drug. Joseph, an Austin-based engineer, he has to withhold his full name, came across research from Johns Hopkins University about psilocybin, an active ingredient in hallucinogens or magic mushrooms. In a small study, full doses of the drug helped cancer patients cope with depression and anxiety. Then he read anecdotes of Silicon Valley influencers claiming increased energy from tiny doses of psychedelics. So he decided to start microdosing a few times a week, eating a small nibble of mushrooms to see if it would improve his mood. Almost immediately, he started seeing a benefit. "It just kind of boosted my morale," he said. "I was in a little bit better mood, and I had a little bit more pep to my step, and I was having a little bit more fun, feeling a little bit more excited about things." Microdosing is typically defined by experts as taking 5 to 10% of a full dose of a psychedelic, usually LSD or psilocybin, as a way to get the supposed mental health benefits of the drug without the hallucinogenic high. For instance, in a clinical setting, a 155-pound man might take 20 milligrams of psilocybin. That's spelled P-S-I-L-O-C-Y-B-I-N, for a full psychedelic experience. For a microdose, he'd take only 1 to 2 milligrams. At that level, taken several times a week, some people claim the drugs improve their mood, boost their creativity, and make the world a brighter and shiny quality if it's on high definition. "It's akin to walking outside when the sun is suddenly out," says Aaron Roy, 30, a Seattle resident, who microdoses 1 or 2 times a week with mushrooms. "It reminds you that you are a person who can feel positive things and notice things that are beautiful." In practice, only about a third of the people who microdose carefully measure the amounts of the psychedelic they are taking. most take just enough to begin feeling some effects, which usually start after an hour and last 4 to 6 hours. That requires some trial and error, particularly when eating mushrooms, could vary in psilocybin concentration. The most commonly reported microdosing issue is accidentally taking too much, which isn't dangerous but can be inconvenient. Researchers also say that frequent repeated dose of the psychedelic could theoretically stress the heart. Research into the mental health benefits of full doses of psychedelics is promising, and one early phase study even found that psilocybin at high doses may be effective as select serotonin reuptake inhibitor for treating depression. Full doses of psychedelics help the brain develop new cellular connections, a process called neuroplasticity, and there's some evidence that microdoses produce similar changes. Many of the scientists who provided research for full doses for psychedelics have started studying whether a microdose, too, might be beneficial. But evidence is limited, and experts are divided about how microdosing helps people, or if it does at all. Much of the early research has been anecdotal, consisting of enthusiastic survey responses from users who experienced enhanced attention and cognition, feelings of well-being, and relief from anxiety and depression. Lab studies of psilocybin and LSD microdoses tend to support these claims, showing improvements in mood, attention, and creativity, but these studies have generally been small and didn't compare a microdose to a placebo. You probably only participate at this point in a microdosing trial if you really have a strong belief that this might help you, says David Aretozzo, MD, a clinical director at the Center for Psychedelic Research at the Imperial College of London. When people expect to benefit from a drug, they typically do. The two largest placebo-controlled trials of microdosing were published last year, and both suggest that the benefits people experience from the placebo effect. In the studies, volunteers used their own drugs and unknown to them received either active doses or a placebo. At the end of several weeks, almost everyone's mood and well-being had improved, regardless of what they had taken. I was initially surprised, but also a bit disappointed by the results, because when we set up the study, we were quite optimistic that microdosing could have an effect beyond a placebo, says Michael Van Elk, an assistant professor of cognitive psychology at Leiden University in the Netherlands, who led one of the trials. Dr. Aretozzo, who ran another study, found that the drug's efficacy was tied to users' expectations. If they took a placebo but thought it was a microdose, they felt better. But if they had an active dose but wrongly guessed it was a placebo, they did not. A third placebo-controlled trial, published earlier this year from the University of Chicago, tried to get around user expectations by giving participants 4 microdoses of LSD over the course of 2 weeks, but without telling them the purpose of the study, or even what they were taking. Once again, there was no difference between the LSD and the placebo groups. Still, some scientists point to evidence showing that the microdosing has a direct impact on the brain and argue that its benefits are real. Using neuroimaging technology, researchers have shown changes in brain activity and connectivity after single small doses of LSD that are similar to what's seen with larger amounts. And a study in Denmark found that a microdose of psilocybin activated nearly half the specific type of serotonin receptors that psychedelics act on to produce their hallucinogenic effects. I wouldn't say it's all placebo. Clearly it's an active drug, says Harriet DeWitt, a professor of psychiatry and behavioral neuroscience at the University of Chicago, who led several studies. We see brain changes that are a little bit like high-dose effects, she says, which suggests that the smaller doses act on the same systems. Some microdosing researchers, including Witt and Van Elk, remain optimistic that tiny amounts of hallucinogenic drugs will ultimately prove beneficial for mental health and cognition. They say that the placebo-controlled trials may not have run for long enough, or the test and questionnaires used in the studies may not fully capture the benefits some people experience from microdosing. On the other side, Dr. Aretozzo says that just because a drug has an impact on the brain doesn't mean it has any therapeutic value. If you can't see in a proper trial that it works for the symptoms, for things that people can actually detect and feel and experience in their lives, then it's not just that interesting, he says. I'm not trying to shoot down microdosing. I'm just being cautious in saying that at the moment, it does not look particularly optimistic. One of the biggest problems with microdosing research is that it's hard to block the placebo effect in studies of psychoactive substances. In Dr. Aretozzo's trial, 72% of the people correctly guessed what they had taken, which means the trial is no longer blinded. For the study showing the effects on the brain, the biggest changes came at the higher end of the microdosing spectrum, 20 to 26 milligrams of LSD and 3 milligrams of psilocybin, an amount where people often start noticing the drug's effects. Out of the lab, most users dose themselves by aiming for a similar subtle awareness that they've taken something. At that level, microdosing might be close to half dose, or users' expectation could heighten the drug's benefits because they can feel that it's doing something. As a result of these difficulties and the lack of conclusive findings, Fenelk has decided to go back to study large doses of the drugs. Dr. Arizzo says that once his next study ends, he'll probably do the same. Both Aaron Royal and Joseph are aware that the benefits of microdosing could be a placebo effect, but for them, how it works matters less than the fact that it has helped. These days, Joseph says his depression has improved thanks to a regular meditation practice, although he still microdoses occasionally if he starts feeling down. After several years of microdosing, he says the biggest change he's experienced is a general shift in his mindset, something that's harder for scientists to measure. I started because I read that it helps with depression, he says, but as I moved on, it's helped really a lot more with mental and personal growth and outlook on life, how you want to live, and your existence in the world. Lending a hand in Ukraine. This is inspiration. Amid the brutality and destruction, people from around the world have reached out to help those caught in the crossfire. Here are a few of their stories, and there's a couple pictures here. One is of a crowd of people. Obviously, it looks like it's in Ukraine. Both adults and children holding up a Ukrainian flag, kneeling and standing, and most of them are smiling. There's a couple of them are kind of plain-faced, but other than that. And then there's a group of three men and a woman called Project Dino's Brian Stern with Ukrainian EMTs and Alex Spector, after rescuing Spector's newborn twins and left some money of the others he helped save. Project Dynamo. Alex Spector was nervous. He was in Poland near the Ukrainian border, about to meet his twin sons, Lenny and Moishe, for the first time. The boys were just 10 days old, born prematurely to a surrogate mother in Kiev. The day before, on February 24th, Russia had invaded Ukraine. With the country under siege and his undersized babies with the neonatal intensive care unit, NICU, requiring oxygen and constant monitoring, Spector had no clue how he could get them home to Chicago safely. Then he heard about Brian Stern. The Army-Navy veteran runs the nonprofit Project Dynamo, which sends combat vets, all unpaid volunteers like Stern, into war zones to rescue Americans and allies trying to flee. Although 14,000 people were already seeking Stern's services, when Spector reached out to him, Stern recognized just how dire the situation was for Lenny and Moishe. If dust gets in the NICU, they're in trouble. If the power goes out, they're in trouble. If there's a bunch of shot-up troops and doctors get spread thin, then they're in trouble. So the bottom line is getting out of Kiev, Stern told NPR. But extracting the twins would require more than a fast car. The precious cargo had to be monitored and watched continuously by medical staff to keep tabs on them during the 13-hour trip to the Polish border. Stern arranged for 2 ambulances, 2 doctors, 2 neonatal specialists, a nurse, and a Ukrainian ambulance crew. Stern would follow in his car to navigate the various checkpoints and live fire. Then there was the added wrinkle. Baby Sophie, another preemie who needed to be rescued, born 2 days after the boys, she was even more fragile than the twins. This was quickly becoming the toughest rescue Project Dynamo had faced. Up to that point, the Project Dynamo team had conducted roughly 30 rescue operations in Ukraine. One of the more daring missions involved evacuating Army Sergeant Robert Platt, a former American paratrooper who lived in northeast of Kiev with his wife. The Platts found themselves surrounded by Russian tanks as soldiers went house to house looting. Stern aborted his first rescue attempt when the Ukrainian checkpoint he was driving through came under Russian artillery fire. It was real, real, real close, Stern, who escaped unscathed, told the National Review. Stern and his colleagues eventually got the Platts out of Ukraine using safe houses and car-to-car transfers. What we do is go from the hot zone to the warm zone to the cold zone to safety, Stern said. Typically, once they cross the border, a team is waiting to take the evacuees to another safe location until they figure out how to get home to the United States. Saving Lenny, Moishe, and Sophie was proven even more problematic. The convoy found themselves under fire as soon as they left for the border. The Russians were shelling something else, but it was close enough that the ground was shaking, Stern told NPR. I mean, the artillery doesn't care what it is. It's going to land where it lands. And artillery doesn't say, oh, well, there's babies here, so we'll go somewhere else. At the Polish border, Spector waited with his phone, anxious for updates. Around 11 p.m., more than 13 hours after they left the hospital in Kiev, Stern texted Spector, we're at the border. A few hours later, Lenny and Moishe were in their father's arms. Soon all three babies were resting in a Polish hospital. The war didn't want to let them go, Stern says, but we got them out. The danger of the mission was not lost on Stern. The man who had served multiple combat tours and was awarded a Purple Heart told Today it was by far one of the most stressful things I've ever done in my life. And then there's this picture of some young kids, look like two young girls, one of them in a pink fluffy coat with a big red backpack, and another one in a brown coat with a blue backpack. New classmates. A YouTube video has captured the hearts of people around the world. It shows two young Ukrainian refugees walking through the doors of the new schools in Naples, Italy. They are brother and sister, Dimitri 10 and Victoria 8. As they nervously entered, they are greeted by more than 200 cheering classmates and teachers waving Ukrainian flags and holding welcome signs. Then two of their new classmates take them by the hand and lead them to their classrooms. As the video ends, we know the pair are now in good hands. A debt repaid. Before I read that, mothers helping mothers. Image of abandoned strollers left in the mud by fleeing refugees are a stark reminder of how dire the situation is for Ukrainian mothers and their children. Recognizing a need, Polish mothers have left strollers on train platforms and at border crossings, easing at least one burden for families displaced of war. The debt repaid. Fania Bass was a teenager in 1942 when she fled her Ukrainian home, Rafalovka, before the Nazis took over. Her parents and five siblings weren't so lucky. Like many other Jews, they perished in slave labor camps. For a year, Bass set out in the forest until Maria Bolishnik stumbled upon her and took her to the home she shared with her husband and children. Had the Nazis found out, the Bolishniks likely would have been killed. Bass stayed with them until 1944 when the Germans were pushed out. Both women have since passed away, but the heroic act created a lifelong bond between their families. So when Bass's granddaughter, Sharon Bass, learned that the Bolishniks' granddaughters, Lasha Oroshoko and Alona Chugai, had fled Ukraine, she was eager to repay the family debt and bring them to Israel. First she got politicians to cut through red tape. Then she paid part of the women's airfare to Tel Aviv. Sharon invited them to stay in her home as long as they wanted. After all, she told the Washington Post, Maria didn't put a time limit on how long she sheltered Fania. A modern-day Noah's Ark. Among the refugees that crossed the Polish border was an unlikely group. Six lions, four tigers, two caracals, African wildcats, an endangered African wild dog, a capuchin monkey, all sharing space in a cramped truck. One lion's crate was held shut by cages placed against it. With war encroaching, the menagerie had been plucked from a preserve for abused and wild animals by the Dutch animal rescue organization AAP, Dutch for ape. After skirting roadblocks and live fire, the truck entered Poland, and the animals were sent to rescue centers in Spain and Belgium. Soon after, the wild dog was spotted playing and chasing his own tail. It was a welcome sight, says AAP's director, David Van Genep. After everything they have been through, our first goal is to see them develop into healthy, normal animals. A town that cares. As of mid-April, Romania had taken in more than 750,000 Ukrainians leaving the war. Among the busiest point of entry is the town of Seret, where roughly 10,000 residents welcome refugees with tables offering everyday necessities such as diapers, hygiene products, and toys. Signs read, Help yourself, it's free. A Romanian youth group, whose name roughly translates to Association for Tomorrow's Generation, has braved freezing conditions to serve hot drinks and meals around the clock. Meanwhile, locals volunteer their services as translators and drivers, transporting the weary and frightened to hotels, welcome centers, or other cities in Romania. When the Ukrainians arrive, they are exhausted and scared, Cornelu Didiu, regional head of the Red Cross, told Info Migrants Net. It's hard for them to have to leave everything. It's also hard for us to see them in this state. Sirens on. Soon after Russian tanks rumbled into Ukraine, Lucius Wojcik, a French businessman, knew that casualties were likely to be heavy. He also knew that as the owner of Euro Machines, which sells new and used emergency vehicles, he was in a position to help. On March 7th, he arranged for a truck hauler filled with ambulance to leave the small town of Camercy and head for the front lines. It started 5 days earlier when Wojcik posted an appeal on Facebook. "I work in the ambulance business," he wrote, "and following the start of war in Ukraine, I decided to personally mobilize 3 medical vehicles. Several dozen people have volunteered to drive the ambulances to Ukraine, so there will be other convoys depending on the support." There was a lot of support, much of it in the form of donations. The number of ambulances Wojcik promised grew from 3 to 22, each equipped with much-needed first aid supplies. Soon the Facebook page filled with offers from volunteers to deliver the vehicles to the war zone. Putting an ambulance convoy together cost more than $30,000, much of it covered by Wojcik, but he shrugs at the price tag. "If you don't give from your pocket, you can't initiate much." All kidding aside, children can cheer us up better than anyone else. So if you're in need of some encouragement, dial 1-707-873-7862 to get to Pep Talk, a free hotline dispensing the wit and wisdom of elementary-age students from the Westside School in rural Helensburg, California. You can choose to hear life advice, a pep talk from kindergartners, or kids laughing with delight. And for those feeling mad, frustrated, or nervous, the children offer these unscripted motivational gems. If you're feeling deflated, do what you like best. It reinflates you. If you're mad, do flips on the trampoline. If you're sad, go get a cookie, a smoothie, or even an ice cream. If you're feeling unbalanced, think of groundhogs. If you're frustrated, just go scream outside. If you're nervous, go get your wallet and spend it on shoes. And the Reader's Digest has started a new thing, kind of a review. They do a couple of films and some books, so let's run through those real quick. The two movies they're redoing are Elvis, which is still out, I believe, and I happen to have seen that movie, and it was really, really good. If you're of the age that you remember Elvis, you'll recognize a whole lot of this one, and the actors in this thing are fantastic. And the other one is Where the Crawdads Sing, which is supposedly set in North Carolina, but actually it was really more like South Carolina. But it's also kind of a tragic story, but also very, very interesting. And it's just one of those movies that kind of grabs you and holds you through the whole way. And it's got some interesting twists at the end, too. And the books they're reviewing are Dear Papa, The Letters of Patrick and Ernest Hemingway. The world knows Ernest Hemingway, the writer, the sportsman, the boozer, and the veteran. But what about Hemingway, the doting father? His son Patrick Hemingway shares 30 years of correspondence between them. In letters postmarked from Key West, Nairobi, Cuba, Pampola, and France's battlefields, Hemingway, the father, is far but never distant, revealing a tender side of the man history remembers for his stoicism and machismo. Well into Patrick's adulthood, both father and son sign off with twosies, a circle with a dot in it, representing a kiss. The Swimmers, by Julie Otutska. Drive headfirst into Julie Otsuka's pool, a solace that relieves swimmers of their mercy many maladies, both physical and emotional, lest they drown in them. When a crack suddenly forms, loyal swimmers struggle to stay afloat. Alice, drafting closer to Da Vinci without the pool's routine, is swept away by memories of a childhood spent in Japanese-American incarceration camps. At the same time, her estranged daughter suddenly reemerges to finally bear witness to her mother's life. The novel is slighter than most historical fiction. Forget to come up for air, and you'll finish it in one sitting. Do the Work, by Camus Bell. If you've asked yourself, what can I do about racial injustice, comedian W. Camus Bell, of writer Kate Schatz, answered that plainly, intelligently, and helpfully in this highly illustrated workbook. Filled with crosswords, dialogues, and quizzes, like Jim Crow or Jim Foe, it tests your history knowledge while demonstrating how privilege and systemic racism occurs in today's society, but without ever speaking down. You won't find a better, more fun way to educate and equip yourself with the tools to combat racial injustice. If you're worried it's silly, scary, or below you, trust us. It's not. And with that, we have finished the July and August Reader's Digest. Next week, we will start on the September one. Now we'll do the Consumer Reports. So let's start off with overpay for auto insurance. Glass replacement. Coverage for a windshield or windows damaged in a crash is usually included in collision policies. Comprehensive policies will often pay to repair or replace glass to non-collision incidents, such as storms, attempted theft, or a pebble in the roadway, striking the windshield. Without that coverage, those types of repairs, which can be costly, are not covered. If your car is equipped with Advanced Driver Assistance Systems, ADAS, make sure your auto glass policy will pay for the required sensor calibration, which makes the cost much higher than a conventional windshield replacement. And speaking from experience, I had a car, I had it for 2 weeks, and I got a fleck from a tractor trailer in front of me that put a dent in the window. Got it done, no cost. Gap insurance. This is coverage you may want to skip. It's designed to protect people who owe more on their loan than the car is worth. In case it's totaled, and collision insurance won't cover the full value of the loan. But Douglas Heller, Director of Insurance for the Consumer Federation of America, says that most people never use this coverage, and it's more of a moneymaker for insurance companies. The people at most risk of having their outstanding loan exceed their value of their car are people who cannot get loans at reasonable rates, he says. It is another way that the financial services sector punishes people for their poverty. Rental car reimbursement. This covers the cost of a rental car while your vehicle is being repaired. Rental car reimbursement is limited by the dollar amount rather than the time, so calculate to make sure you have enough insurance to cover at least a week or two in case the car needs a big repair. The good news is that you can increase your coverage, says Divi Sangram, an insurance spokesperson at the Consumer Financial Information website, Value Penguin. She recommends calling a few rental agencies in your area to get an idea of what a daily and weekly rates are so that you can determine what coverage limits right for you. Uninsured motorist coverage. This protects you from having to pay for damage to your car and injuries to yourself and your passengers caused by someone who is uninsured. Without this coverage, you may end up having to take an insured motorist to court to recoup anything you spend to repair your car and for medical treatment related to the crash. According to Heller, one of every 10 crashes involves a motorist who doesn't have insurance. How much coverage do you need? Heller says it's a good idea to have the dollar amount of your uninsured motorist coverage equal that of your liability coverage. And always review your auto insurance at policy renewal time to be sure that you have the right coverage at the best price. Basic insurance policy coverage includes liability. Required by law in most states, it covers damage to someone else's car and related medical expenses. Collision. Usually optional, though it could be required by a lender if you lease the car. This pays for collision-related repairs to your own vehicle. And comprehensive. This is optional and protects against damage to your car not caused by a collision, such as a tree limb falls on it. It can provide valuable additional protection for owners of newer cars, which would be very expensive to repair or replace. Protecting your private life. Not for sale. Data. Consumers are constantly being tracked by digital surveillance, online and off. The information collected gets bundled into detailed dossiers of our most personal characteristics, including health conditions, political views, and sexual preferences, and then is sold as companies that use it to target advertising and build opaque algorithms that can determine things like whether or not you'll be offered affordable insurance. In response, CR has been fighting state by state to give consumers more control over their personal data. And in April, Connecticut became the fifth state, after California, Virginia, Colorado, and Utah, to extend privacy rights to consumers. Based in part on model legislation developed by Consumer Reports and the results of more than a year of collaboration between our advocates and state lawmakers, the Connecticut law gives consumers the right to access, correct, delete, and stop the sale of their personal data. And it contains several important provisions that have been missing from other state privacy laws, including a requirement that companies honor browser privacy signals so consumers can opt out of all data sales in a single step, a prohibition against dark pattern user interfaces that can deceive consumers into sharing more personal data than they intend, and strong rules for safeguarding consumer data. Wherever you live, you can take simple steps to protect your own information. Learn how by using CR Security Planner at securityplanner.cr.org. 96% of Americans agree that more should be done to ensure that companies protect the privacy of consumers. And call to action. Last year, a U.S. Supreme Court ruling eliminated the authority of the Federal Trade Commission to go to court to seek monetary damage from perpetrators of fraud, illegal scams, and other deceptive practices. For decades, the FTC has used that authority to strip wrongdoers of ill-gotten gains and then to refund victims to the tune of $11.2 billion since October 2016. So CR organized a coalition letter urging key legislators to back the Consumer Protection Remedies Act, which will restore the FTC's authority. You can support the bill by contacting your senators at senate.gov. making infant sleep safer. What's at stake? Parents need to be able to trust that the baby products they find on sale are safe. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. Two dangerous categories of infant sleep products, inclined sleepers and crib bumper pads, have been linked to nearly 200 deaths. CR has long worked to expose the problem of unsafe infant sleep products and rid the market of them. Since 2019, our investigations have linked inclined sleepers, such as the Fisher-Price Rock and Play, to at least 94 deaths, and in-bed sleepers to 12 more. These revelations helped prompt the Consumer Product Safety Commission in 2021 to issue a ruling certain products that don't align with the expert safe sleep recommendations. The rule was scheduled to take effect on January 23, 2022. Some members of Congress determined to prevent future infant deaths also wanted to take action and to include crib bumpers, which hadn't yet been addressed by the CPSC. The result was a CR-endorsed Safe Sleep for Babies Act, a bill to fully ban both inclined sleepers and crib bumpers. The bill passed the House test last year and was approved by the Senate and signed by President Biden in May. It will soon be illegal for anyone to manufacture or sell these dangerous products. And boost your brain power at any age. Our June 2022 article, Boost Your Brain Power at Any Age, revealed the newest strategies to help keep your memory sharp and enhance your thinking skills. Our readers shared their own tips. I enjoyed your great article on brain power. I have to say that my wife and I follow most of those suggestions and practices. One important thing not in your article is the benefits of music, playing an instrument, singing, or just listening to music. My wife and I are both around 80 years old and full-time musicians. We know that music has a lot to do with our continued success and the fact that we are still working full-time. Editor's note, you are absolutely right. In fact, there is a good deal of research on the likely brain benefits of playing a musical instrument, including findings published in 2021 that suggest making music is associated with brain resilience and may improve memory issues. Other research suggests listening to music may boost cognitive skills. I was pleased to see that the writer gave good counsel about many ordinary risk factors to be considered and also recommended to be careful with supplements, as they have no benefits for most people. I was dismayed, however, to see that red meat and full-fat dairy were listed under junk food. They may be unhealthy, but they are not junk food. Thank you for continuing your very strong record of excellent articles about health and healthcare, and that's from Jeffrey Sider, an M.D. Editor's note, it's true that red meat and full-fat dairy products aren't junk food, in parentheses. It's the same way that a highly processed bag of potato chips is, but it's still smart to limit your consumption in them. Research suggests that consuming a lot of saturated fat, which is typically found in those foods, may have negative effect on cognition. To this physician, your article on boosting brain power was commendable for its emphasis on good health practices that individuals should follow to prevent mental decline. You also correctly warned against taking unproven supplements that are mostly of little or no value. But you included tuna along with salmon and sardines as high-fat fish that should be eaten often. Tuna is high in mercury. Add the fact that tuna is not farmed like salmon and is increasingly threatened, and it becomes far less attractive fish, despite its versatility and portability in cans. Editor's note, we agree that it's smart to consider your mercury intake and take into account sustainable fishing practices. Still, canned tuna is an easy way for many people to eat fish. You can safely eat 2 to 3 4-ounce servings of canned light tuna per week, according to Food and Drug Administration. Children are the exceptions. If you choose albacore, the FDA recommends only one weekly serving and no other fish that week. Go to cr.org/seafood to learn more about the difference between seafood choices. Also, we also suggest going to seafoodwatch.org, the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch website, which has a great deal of info on sustainable seafood. Dealing with medical bills. I appreciate the information provided in the Remedy of Big Medical Bills in June 2022 issue, such as the shocking fact that even though 90% of Americans have some type of health insurance, medical debt is actually increasing. This is an incredible commentary on our bloated, fragmented, profit-oriented healthcare system, where even public programs like Medicare are being taken over by private insurance companies. The only real remedy for big medical bills would be a universal, single-payer health program. We can't shop our way out of this problem with consumer choice remedies. I enjoyed your story on how to lower your medical bills, but there's one you didn't note. Social Security has a program called Extra Help that makes your prescription drugs cheaper. You sign up on their website, ssa.gov/benefits/medicare/prescription-help. www.medsmart.html. It will tell you if you're eligible or not. Depending on your income, your meds may be much cheaper. My husband pays $9.85 for brand-name drugs and $3.95 for generics. Mine isn't quite that good, but it still knocks $300 a month off. I would ever urge everyone who's eligible to sign up for it. I appreciate the article on lowering medical bills. One medical bill saver. Engaging in a healthy lifestyle can save many dollars. Many chronic and expensive diseases today, including heart disease, diabetes, and even cancer, are lifestyle-related. A lifestyle change is not as radical to me as bypass surgery. Insulin injections are worse, amputation of a toe or foot, and it's much less expensive. Plant-based meats. In the article Meat Lover's Guide to Plant-Based Meats, I was curious why there was no mention of cholesterol values, pros or cons. Editor's note. The products reviewed are all made from plants, and plant foods have no cholesterol. And we did include the amount of saturated fat in products that has a bigger effect on blood cholesterol levels than does the amount of cholesterol in the food itself. I just read the article about plant-based meats. Why was there no mention of the serious consequences of eating animal meats like salmonella, E. coli, antibiotic resistant, and slaughtering of billions of defenseless animals? How many illnesses and deaths from bad meat yearly? There's so much more to this issue. Editor's note. Our article mainly focused on nutritional makeup of these products. It's true that meat and poultry carry bacteria that can make you sick. What they don't mention here is that also can grains and things. Smartphones and water. Ray, get a smartphone for less. Please explain the difference between waterproof versus water-resistant. A phone is just water-resistant for like a splash and for less than a certain amount of time, so you still shouldn't go tubing down the river with it in your pocket or take it in the shower with you. When it comes to electronic devices, there is no such thing as waterproof, meaning that no water gets in under any circumstances. Smartphones that are water-resistant fend off water, but only for a specific amount of time and level of immersion, which may vary depending on the model. Many smartphones we test, for example, have an IPX7 water-resistant rating, which indicates that the smartphone is ready to keep water out for 30 minutes when it's submerged at a 1-meter depth. To test water resistance rating, we turn the phone on, submerge it in the stated depth for the stated time, and then assess its functionality. While most models do survive our dunk test, don't swim laps with your phone and expect it to still work afterwards. Can I use soap on a cast iron pan? Best pots and pans in June 2022. The idea of not washing cast iron pans needs to be laid to rest. That being said, what do you wash it with? I think these pans should be washed with pure soap and a nylon pad. You won't believe what comes off. Afterward, coat the pan with canola, sunflower, or palm oil and heat it until smoking. Let it cool, rub with a light coat of oil, and put it away. George Serafin. That's generally good advice. Some cast iron cookware manufacturers, such as Lodge, say you can use a small amount of a mild dish soap to clean cast iron, but be sparing in the amount you use. Too much soap can strip the seasoning from your pan, and always dry it completely with a lint-free cloth or a paper towel before seasoning it with oil. What we're testing in our labs. Best Buy cameras. We tested 48 mirrorless models, image quality in normal and low light, viewfinder and video quality, battery life, ease of use, and more. The median was 82, the range was 70 to 92. Excellent flash photos is the Nikon Z50. It's a 16 by 50 millimeter, it's $1,000, and it scored 85. The swiveling LED screen is the Panasonic Lumix GX695. That's also $1,000 and scored an 82. A good deal is the Canon EOS M200, 14 to 45 millimeter ISSTM at 550. It scored 80. Blood pressure monitors. We tested 24 models. We test for the accuracy of a blood model's pressure reading, comfort of the arm bond, clarity and display, and more. About the scores. Median was 76. Range was 19 to 86. The best overall is the Omron Platinum BP5450 from Amazon. Cost $81, scored an 86. A great value is the Omron Silver BP5250 Amazon for $50, and it scored an 85. That's pretty darn close. Bargain buy, but fewer features. The Rite Aid Deluxe BP3AR 4D Rite, $37, scored an 80, which is still not bad. Ask our experts. Is it better to take my blood pressure in the morning or the evening? The time of day you do a reading is less important than measuring your pressure consistently at the time you choose. The body has natural cycles where blood pressure may rise or fall depending on the time of the day, says Nicholas Ruthman, M.D., a staff cardiologist in the Heart, Vascular, and Thoracic Institute at Cleveland Clinic. So by taking readings at the same time of day, you'll be comparing apples to apples. If you take it in the morning, aim for 30 to 60 minutes after you wake. But before you've eaten breakfast and taken any medications, which can affect blood pressure levels, if you choose evening, take it an hour after dinner when you are relaxed. Exterior paints. We tested 20 models. We tested for how well a paint resists mildew, the appearance of paint, including how it will resist cracking, fading, and dirt over the years of weathering. The median score was 57 and the range was 29 to 75. Best overall was Behr Marquee Exterior at $61 a gallon, scored a 75. Long-lasting was Clark & Kinsey Exterior at $47 a gallon, scored a 75 as well. And a wallet-friendly pick, the Behr Plus Premium Plus Exterior from Home Depot at $31 a gallon, scored a 72. Agitator washing machines. We tested 34 models. How well a model's normal cycle cleans a load of mixed cotton items, its energy and water efficiency, and more. The median was 62, the range was 27 to 79. Quiet and eco-friendly, LGWT 980, scored a 79. Excellence in washing machines, Samsung. Excellent washing performance, Samsung WA51A 825, and it scored a 74. And GE Profile PT605 was the best budget buy at 725, it scored a 65. Printers. We tested 25 black and white all-in-one models. Speed and quality of printing, add text, add graphics, and cost of ink toner per year and more. The median was 65, the range was 57 to 73. The value pick was the Canage Image Class MF264DW at $200. It scored a 71. The good for printing graphics was the Canon Image Class MF267 at $250. It scored a 71 as well. They looked identical, actually, in the picture. And a reliable end is the Brother MFC L2690 at $155. It scored an overall score. Chest freezers. We tested 27 models. For temperature, uniformity, accuracy of thermostat control, energy efficiency, noise organization features, usable storage space, and more. About the scores, the median was 73, the range was 19 to 91. Wow, that's a big range. Excellent for small spaces. GEFC, 5 cubic feet at $340, scored an 81. Large capacity with useful organizing bin, the Frigidaire's FFCL at 14.8 cubic feet at $720, it scored a 78. And mid-size for a nice price, the Amana AQC0902, 9 cubic feet, $490, and scored a 74. Ask our experts. Well, even though they're ending the summer season, there's still a good question to ask. What's the best way to treat a sunburn? Sunburn skin can be painful, but there are proven ways to make your skin feel better while it heals. First, take a shower with lukewarm water, which will help cool skin that is warm or hot to the touch. When you get out of the shower, liberally apply moisturizer while your skin is still damp. Try one that contains pure aloe vera, or listed as the first or second ingredient, which is a natural anti-inflammatory used to soothe burns. Avoid using after-sun sprays, such as those containing benzocaine or other anesthetics. While they might offer instant pain relief, they can irritate skin or cause an allergic reaction. Also, skip petroleum jelly products, which can trap heat instead of cooling your burn. Take ibuprofen or aspirin to reduce swelling, redness, and discomfort. And drink more water than usual. A sunburn draws fluid to the skin's surface and away from the rest of the body, which can make you become dehydrated. It's also smart to stay out of the sun until your burn heals, because your skin is at risk for even more damage if you expose it again to UV rays. And try to be diligent about sun protection in the future. Repeated burns accelerate the aging of your skin and increase your risk of developing skin cancer. For more advice on how to stay cool and safe this summer, there's advice on page 22, why they're saying this summer, since this is actually the late August edition. Should I pay for Apple Care Plus coverage on my new phone? In general, the higher price of your device, the more it might make sense to pay for coverage, says CR Tech editor Melody Panola. Apple's iPhone 13 models can cost as much as almost $1,600, and repairs for them are pricey too. With Apple Care coverage, replacing a cracked screen on your out-of-warranty 13 Pro Max will cost you $329. Damage any other part that same phone and Apple repair will cost you $600. While the basic Apple Care Plus plan, which costs $199 up front for the 13 Pro Max, you'll pay $29 for a screen or back glass replacement and $99 for other types of damage. This plan, which provides 2 years of coverage from date of purchase, allows for 2 instances of accidental damage for each 12-month period and includes battery replacement if it retains less than 80% of its original capacity. Of course, if you use a phone case and aren't prone to dropping your phone, you may be fine without the coverage. If you're still on the fence, check out our breakdown of the fees based on the model on the iPhone you have at cr.org/iPhoneFix. I've heard that sourdough bread is healthier than other types of bread. True? If you have a sensitive stomach or a digestive issue such as irritable bowel syndrome, sourdough may be a better choice. Sourdough starts out as a mixture of flour and water that's been left to ferment for several days, creating what's known as sourdough starter. The wild yeast and bacteria that starter grew and produce carbon dioxide, acids, and other compounds, which make the dough rise and give the bread its characteristic sour flavor. Sourdough's long fermentation and rising time causes changes in the dough that may make it easier to digest than regular bread for those with IBS or who experience gas, bloating, and other problems after eating certain carbohydrates. Traditional wheat bread, leavened with baker's yeast, contains high levels of fructans, which can be a trigger to many people with IBS, says Kate Scarlotta, a registered dietitian specialized in digestive health. Sourdough, however, may have as much as 92% less fructan as other breads. Sourdough is a bit lower in gluten than other breads, so people with mild gluten sensitivity may be better able to tolerate it. But don't count on sourdough to provide gut-friendly probiotics, says Willa Jaross, a registered dietitian in private practice in New York City. Although it's a fermented food like yogurt or kimchi, the probiotic bacteria in sourdough bread is killed during baking, so it doesn't provide healthy bacteria to your system. Refresh your outdoor space. New advice and product picks for making your yard, porch, or more inviting this season. Grill anywhere. There's the Next Grill, which is $110. Have a small outdoor space but still want to barbecue? You don't need a full-size grill to make burgers and dogs. The Next Grill is compact enough to fit on a tabletop, is nicely priced, and does well in our performance testing. A 1-pound propane tank adapter sold separately makes it fully portable. And guard against bugs, all metal 18-inch oscillating outdoor misting fan. You have to enjoy your space even as dust falls. That's when mosquitoes are active. So use an insect repellent and turn on the oscillating outdoor fan like the one above. Our tests found that fans reduce mosquito landings by 45 to 65% on those sitting nearby. And I have kind of an aside here on that. When I was in Okinawa, we were lying in our beds at night, and we had an oscillating fan between the two beds that the other Marine and I were lying in, and it would swing back and forth, and you'd hear the mosquitoes come in for a dive, and you'd hear them, and then the fan would go by, and you'd hear them, and they'd blow away. Those that single fan kept us from getting single mosquito bites during the bad weather. So it does work. I have proof of it. Season Century Rectangle Market Umbrella, $165 at Costco. Many patio umbrellas, such as this season's Century model, are made of Sunbrella fabric, a durable acrylic that is color-fast and mold and mildew resistant. To keep it in tip-top shape, Sunbrella suggests using a soft brush to remove dirt and debris from the fabric about once a month. Secrets of Modern Thrift Shopping. Thrift shopping has really grown in popularity. According to a 2021 report by ThredUp, an online thrift store, sales of secondhand clothing are expected to double by 2025. But getting a great deal for lightly or never-worn clothes has changed with the rise of online thrift and resale websites. It can take more know-how to patience to find what you want. We're here to help. Try these sites. For the widest selection of styles, browse peer-to-peer selling sites such as Depop, eBay, Etsy, Poshmark, and ThredUp. For more curated collections of vintage clothing, check out sites such as Fashion Consulate, Ruby Lane, and Thrilling. Use filters wisely. Search filters are your best friends. Many sites allow you to sift through their massive inventory by brand, size, price, color, and even condition of the item. Employing these tools will reduce your need to scroll through an endless sea of products. Many sites allow you to set up alerts for a specific item. For example, if you look for a size 8 blue dress from J. Crew, you'll be notified on new listings and matching that description. Learn seller lingo. There are a few key terms that many sellers use across the RIP website. NWT means an item should be new with tags, indicate it was not probably never worn. NWOT means new without tags, so the item should be in like new condition, but will not have its tags attached. If you search using these terms, you can get brand new or like new products for far less than retail prices. For example, NWT's Salvatore Ferragamo bag has a retail value of $1,250, but was listed on ThredUp for $366, about a 70% discount. You can also look for phrases such as mint condition or like new condition, but always check the photos carefully and be wary of listings that show only the manufacturer's images rather than the actual item being sold. You can also message the seller to request more photos to help you access an item's condition. And factor in shipping costs. Sites such as eBay have sellers from all over the world, but shipping tends to be cheaper and faster if you order goods from a vendor in the U.S. Often you can filter to see only items shipping from the U.S. Some sites let seller dictate the shipping price, while others charge a flat fee. But you may be able to score a discount by asking the seller for the fee directly. Some sites also offer free shipping if you spend over a certain amount. Check the seller reviews and return policies. Before buying, read through a seller's rating to see what other shoppers have experienced. Some sites leave returns up to the seller. Others, including Poshmark, don't accept returns unless an item fails to arrive or isn't what was described in the listing. And some websites, such as ThredUp, allow returns within 14 days, but charge a restocking fee for each item. I think we're all familiar with the term oxymoron, but every once in a while they list a few of them that are rather funny, actually. And here's some oxymoron examples and everyday expressions. Jumbo shrimp, awfully good, bittersweet, a civil war, definite possibility, exact estimate, extinct life, grow smaller, only choice, and random order. And for objects, old news, original copy, plastic silverware, true fiction, virtual reality, and a working vacation. And some song titles, Alone Together, Definitely Maybe, Night of the Living Dead, Sound of Silence, All Your Perfect Imperfections, and a few quotes. I distinctly remember forgetting that. You'd be surprised how much it costs to look this cheap. We must believe in free will. We have no choice. And Mark Twain said it usually takes more than 3 weeks to prepare a good impromptu speech. And Samuel Golden said a verbal contract isn't worth the paper it's written on. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and printed impaired. This broadcast is brought and readily available as a podcast on our website at ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.